Blog Talk Radio.
This is your announcer Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Metallica launched a countdown clock this week. Some people seem to think it's for a tour date announcement, but it's actually them letting James know how long he has to get sober before they replace him with Sammy Hagar. Pretty messed up since Sammy isn't even sober himself. Sorta like the Livecast replacing Rob with Snoop Dogg. Actually, that's a great idea. And now, here is the Metal Injection Livecast.
Hello, everyone. It's Sid, Noah, 3D, and Snoop Dogg with you here on the Livecast. Snoop Dogg, how was your weekend?
Pretty good.
You sound just like Rob.
It's crazy. Yeah, I've been really searching and trying to get the voice down.
It's
been wonderful.
Wow, what a pro.
The shizzle.
What a talent.
Snoop Dogg's actually in the news this week.
Now, if you excuse me, I must spark up this blunt.
Yeah.
I found out that Snoop Dogg will be hosting a jiu-jitsu tournament at his estate.
Noah, he's right here. Don't speak about him in the third person.
Well, he told me
correct.
Not to look him in the eye. So
I see.
That was correct.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, apparently he works with this tournament company called High Rollers, who are big like cannabis.
Mm. Oh, I get it, because rollers, you're like rolling some sort of a blunt.
And rolling on the
and,
mat.
Yeah, right. Like the.
Oh, it's a triple entendre.
Uh-huh.
So do all the contestants have to be high when they compete?
I think in states where it's legal, they can be. And they like share a joint.
But also the
match.
Really?
Or,
no.
That can't
after?
Be safe.
I thought it would be more like CBD stuff, where it's like for pain relief. You get high before...
Before
the jiu-jitsu. I guess you're not like punching or anything. You're just kind of like
it's meditative.
But wait, they're doing CBT stuff during the match?
CBD.
Oh, CBD. That's a different thing.
Non-hallucinogenic.
Cock and ball dog.
Everyone, don't
the hemp plant.
Don't Google CBT.
We've talked about it on the show. Welcome to the Livecast.
Thank you, Snoop.
It's Snoop Dogg cosplaying as Rob here, along with Noah.
Hi.
Sid,
hey.
And 3D.
Hi, I'm going to be Eric Sermon cosplaying as 3D today.
Nice.
All right. We're going to have Chase Mason from Gatekeeper calling in just a few minutes. We'll be talking about the new album and some other fun stuff. And also want to mention, for our Jewish audience, good Yom Kippur,
no,
happy Yom Kippur,
sad
Yom Kippur.
Definitely not supposed to be happy, I could tell you that.
No,
part.
You say Gemar Chatima Tova.
All right.
Gemar chatima tova.
But what do you say in English, normal speech?
Like.
Well, that's normal. Just what is normal? Normal is subjective. Go ahead, Noah.
So you're basically.
Normal is what I can understand.
Yeah.
So that phrase in Hebrew is like. So basically, Yom Kippur is a day of atonement. Where
it
you,
is the day of
it's
atonement.
It's the biggest
the.
Day for the Jews.
It's like the main event of atonement, the Super Bowl of atonement.
Yeah.
So the Academy Awards of.
You know
atonement.
What's weird? There's a movie called Atonement, not about Yom Kippur.
How's that possible?
That fucked up.
There's a Killswitch Engage album that just came out called Atonement, also not about Yom Kippur.
That's our thing. They cannot, they cannot co-opt that.
Well, isn't one of them Jewish? I don't know. So
the manager, at least.
No, actually, I don't. Oh, one of them. Yeah, they
there
have two
we
managers.
Go.
Dude.
Okay, do you want to know what it means or no?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
So basically,
we'll give you a little soundtrack.
It means, like, finish with a good signature, like God is signing your papers. Hashem.
Wait. Well, so what is the phrase again?
Okay. Gmar Chatima Tova.
Gmar Chatima Tova.
Yeah,
wow. Good phlegm there, Rob.
Finish with a good signature.
I see.
The literal translation. Unless Israeli guy says otherwise.
How many Israeli porns have there been where people finish and then say Gmar Chatima Tova?
They finish with their signature on the woman's back?
Yes, exactly.
What if there was a Dom Sub Israeli porn where a woman is forced to eat on Yom Kippur?
Eat dick!
I just meant food, but okay, that could also play into it.
Also, I want to mention, for the non-Jewish listeners, of which I would say is probably a majority of our listeners.
Yes.
So Yom Kippur, it's usually
not for long, though.
A week and a day, like 8 days after the Jewish New Year. And you're supposed to atone for your sins of the previous year. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like going to confession, but you just, instead of going every Sunday, you just get it all out in one day. Like, it's very efficient.
It's like doing an enema.
An enema of sin.
Enema.
It's a cinema.
Now, this one, I want to also...
That's what Jewish cinema is.
Shitting out all the things you did wrong during the year.
I want to mention that, like, when I was growing up, this was definitely the first crack in the armor of like, what is this, like, you know, like questioning religion.
Because this is the first time you smoke cracks, Snoop.
So you're supposed to spend the day essentially suffering so you can think about all the things that you did that were sinful.
True. Hold on. I'm going to Wikipedia,
but I'm giving you the anecdotal thing. And so to do that, you're supposed to, and you're, I guess you're also supposed to focus on your task of like atoning. So you're not supposed to eat. You cannot use electricity. You can't obviously do any work. You're just supposed to atone and like go to synagogue essentially.
Whoa.
For hours at a time. Like my dad would go for like four different sessions, like the sundown session, a morning session, an afternoon session, and then the end, like the grand finale
Did
of the.
You're looking at it for an excuse to get out of the apartment.
No, the whole thing.
Really at the OTB.
No, there was like the synagogue. I mean, it's essentially like for my neighborhood, like with a community church would be. So all of the, like the entire neighborhood would be at this thing, and it's like a who's who of the neighborhood, and then everyone would parade. Down
to OTV?
No, down to the boardwalk, because you can't do anything. So you just hang out outside and like take in the sun.
Because these guys are typically real go-getters doing lots of stuff.
Give me crispy matzah in the fourth.
Exacta. When your dad went to shul, did he wear a kittel?
It's a kittel.
Oh, thanks for asking, Darren. A kittel is a white robe-like garment for evening prayers on Yom Kippur.
Oh, yeah. Well,
thank you, Noah.
Isn't that like... Yeah, of
no,
course.
No, the tallit is different.
Oh, excuse me.
I think it's like a fancier one that you only wear during Yom Kippur or on their wedding
day. Oh, yeah, you're good. You're good, tzitzis. Now, tzitzis, what are tzitzis?
That's my tzitzis,
baby. That's the cute name for a tallit.
Which is what?
Which is that robe with the...
But, like, what does it represent?
Let me press that link.
Right, as a woman, you never have to interact with
Is she even allowed to tell us?
She's not allowed to tell
also,
us. That's what he's just saying.
Also, I want to mention my synagogue that I grew up in was segregated. And I think
it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, he never saw black people in there at all.
No, by gender, I meant.
Oh.
Men and women were separated.
Well, yeah, that's most traditional synagogues, right? It's just the reform ones that aren't.
Yeah.
So just to sum up, we're supposed to torture ourselves, and the way we do it is we go to the synagogue and sit through these boring...
Oh, my God, it was so torturous. I had to go. I mean, I didn't have to. I eventually stopped going. Again, these were like, I don't want to do this.
How old were you when you were allowed and or decided you should not go anymore?
Well, I remember like around 7 or 8, I was like, I don't want to go to all of them. And my dad would be like, are you just going to the last one? And I'm like, it's like reading the last pages of this book that they go through, and so is it the Torah?
I don't know.
it's like a whole Yom Kippur prayer.
the coupon saver. Yeah.
It's like
trip.
A giant Yom Kippur prayer because there was. I remember it was in Hebrew and then in English on the other side, so you could follow along and kind of.
Which one did you read?
Yeah, cannot read any Hebrew.
He would just sneak like an issue of Pro Wrestling Insider.
I would always read ahead. I'd be like, all right, I read this. Come on, let's get.
Know what's gonna happen?
Let's get to the amen.
World ends. Let's go. Come on.
And
there's the Holocaust in this thing. I don't listen to it.
So, but like the rabbi would always have beef, like the Ric Flair robe of sisters. Like,
oh,
he
yeah.
would have, like, the primo, like, oh, shit, this is where the donations go.
Yeah.
Like, to his robe and, like, his talit or whatever. And then they would just, you know, the ceremony would end. The grand finale is the blowing of the shofar to push out the sin.
Is that what that is?
Something like that.
All right.
I can't, we need to get a live cast so far. We need to really make that happen. I think we don't want to.
And we have one. I thought we have
Next
one.
Time I go to Israel, I'll pick one up.
Oh, you can get one on Amazon. There's like an Amazon Basics show.
We need a real
fucking ram's horn. It seems inhumane to animals.
Yeah, I don't want a real. I don't need a real. But if you go to
if
the Israel. If you go
Hashem,
to the Israel.
A real
can,
show far.
Can you just get an app that makes the sound? That's probably the easiest.
We have an app. Its name is Darren. Shofar us.
Oh, you want some shofar? I thought I wanted to hear some Mashiach. Okay.
So I can't really find the purpose of it. It's just like a garment that you're expected to wear while you pray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
By the way, God wants to put his signature. Is that what you said it is? God, what is the signature?
Like God, like hush. Hashem is like signing your papers.
Everything has to be a contract with these fucking Jews. Amazing. Signature.
All right.
Just put your name on the dotted line there.
So when I pulled out completely.
Oh.
Beg your pardon?
Excuse you.
Oh.
Was when my dad tried to get my sister to go to synagogue, and she was like, "No, I'm not going." He was like, "All right." And I was like, "Wait a minute, you could do that?
You didn't realize that was an option."
Yeah, I didn't. It's like, hold on.
How old was she when she said that?
Four.
Fuck. Yeah, she was like four or five. Yeah, it was like five.
Watching,
I remember I was ten. So
I'm
yeah,
watching
five.
Dora the Explorer. Get the fuck out of here with your shoe.
Barney she was already clubbing at that age. What are you talking about?
She was in club heaven.
Yeah, she was very advanced.
Club Heaven was the cliche Russian spot in Sheepshead Bay.
Yeah.
When we were younger.
It's not there anymore.
No.
It's still
a club.
It is?
But it's not Club Heaven anymore.
It's like there's some water pun I remember driving by.
I don't remember what it's called. It's not Club Heaven. That was a big go-to joke reference on our old show when we were in college. Club Heaven was like the Russian spot. And whenever we'd need one in a bit. But that shows you how old that is, because I stopped doing that show in like 04.
This is extended.
One long, long shofar.
Well, you know, like a part of the Rosh Hashanah events is blowing through the shofar.
Mm-hmm. That's the climax of it, actually. That's at the very end.
They blow you right in the end.
And then Rob pulls out.
Of shul.
Oh, and then the meal. The meal's nice. The big post-Yom Kippur.
Post-Yom
Kippur. Would you guys have, like, a specific thing you would break fast with?
Well, here's the weird thing.
Yeah.
My grandma would always cook, but she would spend, like,
the whole day.
Part of Yom Kippur cooking.
Yeah.
But it was really nice because we would all get together. It was a nice little tradition.
But I thought you didn't like her.
I didn't like her, but I like my family.
Oh.
And my grandma's favorite thing to do would be to, like, present, like host a dinner party to kind of show off.
Okay.
But, like, she would never want to, like, cook for me. Like, I'd be like, hey, grandma, I really like you make this one.
She'd only do it when there was a larger audience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, I'd be like, grandma, I really like how you do these. She's like, are you kidding me? Like, she's like, I don't cook that for myself. I'll cook it for you. Like, she said that to me.
God.
Wow.
My blood.
What was the thing that you really liked that she cooked? What was your favorite thing?
The cutlete.
Cutlete?
They're like trick cutlets.
Plaws in there?
What she make? Well, I don't have any memory. She was really good at baking, too. Like, now when I go to Russian stores and get like the cakes that they make and stuff. Like I just get flashbacks as I eat them to like
Napoleon.
Her versions and how like insanely good they were. Yeah, she would make everything. Yeah. Oh, totally.
Store.
Yeah, because the store ones, I feel like they just really. Like, it's not made with love. It's, like, too sugary.
Well, hers weren't made with love either, clearly.
Yeah.
But she wanted to impress me. But, no, she was just so good at it. That she
I hope
he
hates
formula.
This fucking cake, Leah. Going to put Estic and fucking Kolodiec in it.
Oh, that's my Rob love.
Yeah.
Oh, she makes the best Kolodiec cake.
That's why you learned to love Kolodiec, because you were seeking her love. So you said, I will eat this and love it. You want
please
love me.
I explained it. I was high one night and there was nothing to eat in my house but holidays. So I was like, you know what? I can see it.
When you're extremely high and there's nothing else to eat.
Well, no, I got the taste. I understood it, and then I could recreate it when I wasn't high.
Just so everyone knows, holidays is not a Jewish thing.
Yeah.
No,
we're all Jews and we hate it.
Also,
aspic salad. It's not. It's a French thing.
Really?
You said House of Holodeath, and that's like the next Rob Zombie movie that's coming out.
Yeah, oh my God.
No, that's a horror movie.
What is it? Just a whole house floating in gel?
And like all the characters are floating in the aspic salad.
Oh.
Trying to get out. That's the whole movie.
Disgusting. Wow. It's an aspic salad monster that rises up from people's leftovers. It's like a leftover. Like it's really a backdoor movie to
like
compost,
movies.
Like to promote composting and like recycling, you know, because if you don't, the Holodeath monster will rise with all the fat that's left over. Oh my God, call Hollywood!
Man, I'm so lucky that I'm Jewish, but I never had to do any of this shul bullshit.
Yeah.
The only thing I had to do was my bar mitzvah, but that's it. And then like my mother wasn't into this stuff. I live with my mother.
Yeah, I didn't have a bar mitzvah.
And my grandmother and neither one of them. My grandmother was raised in a really kosher house. So my great-grandmother was really into all that stuff and keeping everything separate and all that. But she never brought it into our house, and that was fantastic.
Awesome.
Very lucky.
Well, one thing I want to bring into our house right now
oh.
is our special guest.
Ooh.
I want to bring in Chase from Gatekeeper. Let's give him a ring-a-ding-ding.
Is Mason a Jewish name?
We'll find out in a moment.
Hello.
Hello, Chase. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. You're on the line with Rob, Noah,
hello,
Sid,
hey,
and 3D.
Yo.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good. We're doing good. We're celebrating Yom Kippur tonight by
all right.
and breaking the rules. Chase Mason, is that a Jewish name? Are you of the Jewish faith, Chase?
No, I was raised Mormon.
Oh, really? Okay,
whoa.
That's yeah. particularly not Jewish, I would say.
More than you'd think.
Yeah. But yeah, today's our big Day of Atonement for the year. And so
you have a lot to atone. Has it been a bad year?
Well, you've been to Metal Injection before. You know what goes on over there.
I do want to mention, by the way, you Gatekeeper, you guys just released a brand new album called Deserted.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. I love the artwork. Very, very old school, very good stuff. Who did you get to do the cover?
His name's Brad Moore. He is in rural Illinois.
Wow.
He's done some album covers in the past. Most recently, he did the Tomb Mold album cover that came out a year or two ago. And he's done some stuff more in the 90s, but he mostly did a lot of, he's kind of like a comic book guy.
And did
yeah,
you like come to him with a concept, or did he listen to the album and kind of this is, he visualized or?
Well, I actually started working with him on the cover before we had even recorded the album.
Huh?
But I knew what I wanted to call it. I knew the title, Deserted. So I gave him that. I gave him a little bit of references, you know, kind of color stuff. And I told him, gave him some very vague guidelines of like, or a theme, you know, it's deserted. I wanted to have a desert landscape, but kind of a post-apocalyptic and post-human. So he kind of took his own spin on that, because it could mean a couple, you know, it could just be no human life, no life at all, or it could be alien life, you know, whatever his take was on it. He has a kind of psychedelic almost sort of style, so I let him run with it. So I left it pretty open for him, and turned out really cool.
I was going to say, that's a good thing to do in the desert, psychedelics.
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah, and obviously you guys are kind of making the rounds, and I feel you got a ton of publicity last year from just like hanging out with Post Malone, which seemed a little random, but then again, not so random if you kind of know about Post Malone's history. Did you guys just randomly bump into each other, or have you known each other for a while?
Well, we met through a mutual friend of someone that we've known for a while that actually used to work with metal bands, that now works with his crew. So we were kind of introduced that way. I think he was introduced to our music and he was into it. So they were like, hey, well, come to the show, when he came to Arizona, when we met him for the first time. And, you know, he's come to the show and you guys can all meet, and kind of made friends and kept in contact a little bit. And I'll, you know, whenever we're in the same city or whatever, we'll try to meet up. But there is a lot of crossover between Post Malone is obviously a huge star, but a lot of the what would be the kind of, I would call, like the SoundCloud rap stuff, and metal and hardcore and punk, there's a lot of people that have kind of crossed over behind the scenes, whether it's doing art, tour managing, working for whatever it is. There's a lot of crossover people that have like gone from one or the other. Like Ghost Mane is another one that there's a lot of crossover of different people that are working with those artists now. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, you even see it in the crowds too, like for a band like Horror. I've never felt more old and out of touch than when I was in that crowd, because I was like, this is like all these different people, like they, and all of them, everybody looks like they have a very diverse palette of music that they listen to. And I think that's really cool that there is this kind of mashup kind of playlist culture going on, where people can say like, oh no, I do listen to everything and not just be full of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I like all types of different of music. I think it's cool, the cross pollination of everything. I do think that there should, as far as the music itself, there should still be some separation, you know, just because, say for Gatekeeper, just because, you know, if we want to play a show with a rapper, I'll do it. I think that's cool. But are we going to do a song with a rapper? No. You know, like I feel like behind the scenes or playing shows. What's that?
Oh, no, no.
No, we were just agreeing
just
with you.
Agreeing with you. I mean, like, I've gone to shows where it's like a band kind of like out of the, like out of the loop of what I listen to. And I kind of feel like, well, I paid for this ticket, so I want to like all the bands on the bill. So I guess that's my objective with that.
Yeah. No, I think that, yeah, the cross-pollination of it and, you know, being able to play to, like you said, maybe we would be on the other side of that. Like, say we play a show that we're not the band that really fits on it, but we get to play to a lot of new people who may not have heard us otherwise. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, like kind of going to, like, some van shows, like when they do those shows where they book, like it was, like, Converge and, like, some rap group. The name escapes me, but it was like, oh, people were getting down to, like, both crowds were getting down to both artists. So that was really cool.
Didn't you guys go to that one that just happened in New York with Obituary? And it just happened, I think, this last weekend? The Vans thing? The crash of Vans?
No, I didn't. I didn't even realize Obituary was playing the city. Mm-hmm. It's like you'd think I'd run a metal up that I was
going
to say.
You got to set up the alert.
I was going to mention, I was like, do you have a thing on the side where you sell sweatpants, or am I confusing you with somebody else?
Yes. Well, maybe.
A secret?
Perhaps, but there is a. I see. Well, I have seen the sweatpants company online, which is a great idea because sweatpants, I feel, are very underrated clothing accessory.
I don't think
it's not an accessory. It's a necessity.
They're clothing, Rob.
You're right.
Also, follow-up question. Rob is very interested in Zubaz pants.
I'm currently wearing some.
He's wearing right now. If this company that you will not commit to running had any Zubaz, he'd be very interested.
Or Zubaz-like designs.
Those are the kind of MC Hammer-type pants, right?
Sort of.
They have, like the zebra prints.
They are large. They're large like MC Hammer pants.
They're really. They're actually... These are the best fitting.
Will you
ever
wear
had.
Them three sizes
yeah.
too small?
Yeah, it says more about you than the pants. Bro.
But they're very loose fitting, but they're also like what you would expect like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, a Road Warrior Hawk to wear.
Road Warrior Hawk? An owner, part-time owner.
Yeah, it's like a very bro like...
yeah, you
like,
see them at football games, like people at the football games. At the tailgating or whatever.
All right. Anyway. I'll look into it. I'll see. I'll see if it's something that I can make happen.
Now, are you a sweatpants kind of guy or like a shorts in the summer, sweatpants in the winter? When is it appropriate? When is it not appropriate to wear sweatpants? Let's be honest, right, guys?
I mean, when it's hot, I mean, I wouldn't be wearing sweatpants outside right now in Arizona.
Right.
I mean, we have a very short window of even appropriate to wear a hoodie, you know? But they're good. They're good casual wear. I'll say that.
I really feel
but
like
they do need to have pockets. Pockets is very important.
Agreed.
Oh, you ever performance sweatpants?
Actually, I have. Yeah.
When you woke up today, did you ever think you'd be extolling the virtues of sweatpants on a radio show?
I feel more people need to talk about this. We need elastic waistbands.
Yeah, that's
are
what it is.
The comfort. You know, having a belt grip on your gut prevents you from focusing with your day because you're just
focusing
your
with
body's
what?
Getting pushed in.
Focusing with what? That's like a dirty word in there. Shock jock.
What?
You said focusing with your D.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, if
got
it cuts off the blood flow, then that's a possible
that's a,
side
that's...
effect.
Anyway.
What would this sweatpant website be, or do you not even know?
I don't know. I don't have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You know where's a great place to wear sweatpants when you go hiking? Since you're in Arizona, do you have any like hiking spots that you like around there?
I'm not really an outdoors guy,
honestly.
Oh, okay. But there is spots. There's a place called Camelback Mountain, and it's called that because it kind of looks like a camel's back, believe it or not. It's a very popular hiking place. And I mean, the desert is very beautiful, and there's a lot of cool places to hike around. There's Sedona, which is not far from Phoenix, which is known as kind of a new age Mecca. There's like a supposed, if you're into crystals and metaphysical energy of the earth, this is a place where people flock to. Supposedly there's these vortexes, which are like areas of very concentrated energy that people go to and I guess charge their energy up. I don't know.
People are falling.
If you're into that, check it out, Sedona.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I won't take my phone there. It'll probably damage it.
You need to have the phone just to find it, though.
Or I could use a map.
Good luck.
Just have Bruno sniff it out.
My dog.
So now you say you don't really like being outdoors. Do you like touring or do you prefer not the touring?
I like touring. I'm one of those people that I enjoy being on tour. I like traveling. I like meeting new people. And, you know, the more that you do it, the more people that you know in different cities. So it's kind of an excuse that every city you go to, you see someone that you haven't seen for a while, whether it's friends, people in other bands that you've played with. it's cool. I like doing it. For some reason, I haven't been able to plan it perfectly yet, but I always seem to be back home when it's the worst weather and when it's the summertime. I wish that I could plan it. I hopefully in the future I can plan out a little better that we're gone. We're not in Arizona when it's 120 degrees, but it's nice to be able to go and experience other places. I like it.
And now, so you're going to be heading out on the road at the end of the month, and you're going to be going to some places where it's absolutely not summer, where it mm-hmm. very much is double sweat pan weather in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you enjoy, getting to experience the cold since you're in Phoenix and you don't do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely – I've never lived anywhere that it's – have to deal with the snow. To me, it's very annoying. It makes everything more complicated. At least when it's really hot. Yeah, it sucks when you go outside, but you don't have to – shovel your car out of the heat, you know. Touring maybe could be a little bit dangerous if you're on a long drive and there's black ice. But it's cool to be able to experience and not have to stay there for too long.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys had some of those scary situations where you like, you know what, maybe we should just pull the car over right now and be a little late?
Yeah, there's a route that's when you're on the West Coast, that's usually you'll tour up or down the West Coast, and then you have to get, if you're going up and then back down from Washington to, you know, Boise, Idaho, or like Salt Lake City, that kind of path right there can be pretty treacherous if it's snowing or bad weather, but hopefully we won't have to run into that.
Yeah. Might want to avoid that. Maybe get the Waze app. They'll tell you where to go.
Yeah.
I should mention the tour is Gate Creeper, Exhumed, Necrot, and Judiciary. And it's going all across the country, kicking off in L.A. on October 25th. You're going to Phoenix, Austin, Houston, Philly, Columbus, Brooklyn, all over the place.
Yeah. Are you guys all in New York?
Yep, we are all in Brooklyn.
So we're playing at Brooklyn Bazaar, mm-hmm. which is cool. I've been to Philly, but I just saw today that place is closing down. Did you guys see that?
Yes,
you know,
it's very sad.
I didn't notice that. So what's going to happen?
They're selling the building and building condos there.
Shocking. Is that Polish restaurant next door going to be torn down too, or no?
I don't know if it's in the same building.
I mean, there's like 40 Polish restaurants in the neighborhood.
But no, it was just a great small venue. Like,
a lot going on in that place.
DIY-ish kind of place. Non-Live Nation, one of the rare, nice non-Live Nation spaces.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're at least going to be able to play there once.
Yeah, you guys are going to be, might be the last metal show there.
Wow.
Maybe.
My friend Fred, the drummer of legendary band Dismember, works there, so I'll be able to get to see him. That's always a treat.
Nice. Help with the demolishing of the
maybe
the
they'll yeah, like maybe they'll let you take a piece of the wall home or something.
Burn it to the ground. Make those developers have to start from scratch.
I think that's it's cheaper that way anyway.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, Chase, thank you so much for taking some time hanging out here on the live cast. The new Gate Creeper album is called Deserted.
It's very good.
It's very good. It has the live cast seal of approval. And good luck on the road. And may there be many sweatpants in your future.
All right. Thank you so much. You guys have a good one.
You too. You too.
You going to that show, Rob?
Sure. I love Gate Creeper.
Okay, and then you'll report back and it'll give us a little show review.
Sure. Actually, it's on a Tuesday.
Oh, God damn it. Well,
we can all go.
Yeah, we can all go. Out.
Can
Let's
report.
All go. So, you're going to go to the Gate Creeper show?
Which Tuesday?
Tuesday, November 12th.
When do they go on?
Yeah.
Well, if it's St. Vitus, they're going to go on at like
It's not stupid.
We just talked about it, motherfucker.
St. Vitus is promoting the show. Calm down, everyone. Calm down. It's they're probably going to go on at like 9. 9 or 10.
I guess we could do that.
Yeah. We can either start earlier or just do it on the next day.
Do it at Brooklyn Bazaar.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Why not?
But no, if we finish the podcast today, we could totally get there for 9 o'clock. We wouldn't even have to change the show.
Okay.
Easy peasy.
And keeping with our Jewish theme. I saw a great headline today. I mean, it was on Metal Injection, but you know. Like
You wrote it and saw it.
Yeah. I didn't write it.
Who wrote it? You have somebody else writing the headlines now?
Well, I'm not the only writer.
But you're not in charge of all the headlines to make them super clickbaity? The writers get to do their own headlines?
Well, like, I'll sometimes punch them up, but...
Yeah.
What, the writers? It's just typos, Rob. Calm down.
They do the draft.
Just for today, Rob had a special guest writer by the name of Shlomo Choina.
Oh, no, it was actually Snoop Dogg, but okay. No.
Shlomo Dogg.
No. David Draymond wants to sing the national anthem at Super Bowl 2020. Oh, that's great.
Why him? Is it in Chicago or something? Where is the Super Bowl?
Where is the Super Bowl?
Israel.
Yeah, okay, well, fine. Then that makes sense. All right, fine. Allowed.
So here's the thing.
He sucks? So they said no?
That's probably the number one qualifier.
Well, I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but when Jennifer Lopez and who's the other performer? Shakira were announced as the halftime performers at the Super Bowl, there was like this big wave of criticism on Twitter.
David Drainman.
Yeah. Which every year happens about how like, oh, why isn't it a rock band? Why isn't it blah, blah, blah? Dee Snider went on a whole rant about how like it's fucked up how he didn't, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but he goes like it's fucked up how, you know, they'll use metal in the interstitials and all that, but then won't invite them to perform. And it's like, fucking Snyder, I love you, huge respect, but like, you know, the game, like the metaphorical
and
game
also,
here of like the I actually wrote an editorial about this where I was like, it's just the fucking advertisement for Pepsi. That's all the halftime show is. Pepsi buys it and they want a Pepsi artist. They want like a giant pop artist that'll be, you know, like inoffensive and not turn people off or whatever.
And show off their nipples.
Yeah.
Well,
that's, I mean, I'd
who knows
be okay.
Now? What channel is it on this time?
But like, does he want them to take away the metal from the interstitial music as well?
No, he's saying like, they should do.
What? You have your part. Like, that's not enough. You need to be everywhere. Why? Why you just your
they
genre?
They should get, well, like, not just the genre. It's just they should give the genre the nod this time because they always don't have a rock band. I think it's so silly. And the whole thing is like, oh, Metallica should play it. Metallica has said they don't want to play it.
I do agree with you, but I would say just as devil's advocate that
if
Metallica did want to play, and we know they don't, so this is a moot point, if they were open to it, they would be one of the few that would be inoffensive and have a broad appeal.
Yeah, sure.
So there would be not, that wouldn't really apply to that.
But the thing is, with these halftime shows now, they do not want live playing. And I don't, Metallica's not going to
imagine.
I mean, like, it would be the best Lars probably sounded in years, but still, I don't think they're going to want to do that. They're going to want to play live.
I think that is so stupid, though, because the thing people want to see is these mistakes. Like, isn't that great? Like, so much.
Well, I think
we want to see it so we can laugh at the performer.
Right.
The
point isn't to have a great performance. The point is to be an ad for Pepsi.
Right.
There's a mistake, it like makes like with this, you know, these dumb corporate thoughts, it's like it would make Pepsi look bad. I don't know.
But counterpoint, if there's a mistake, it goes viral and 300 million hits will see Pepsi's ad right behind the mistake.
Absolutely. But I think the other thing about it is just that there's too much room for error because they have so little time to set up this. Because the whole thing is pointless. They have to set up a stage in the middle of a football field and they can only do it in certain ways so you don't ruin the grass. And then you have to like set up. Like, sound check, make sure you can't sound check. It would be impossible to do the sound check, make sure everything's working properly, make sure it sounds good in the venue, and then live mixing. It's like all of this can't be done in. it really shows how like completely pointless, like what a waste the halftime show is.
Right.
But anyway, so this whole thing kind of like got the metal rock and metal verse pumped, and Billboard posted an editorial.
Who?
Billboard magazine. It's a trade magazine for the music industry.
They have a Hot 100. It's the whole thing.
Sorry, I only know about Lamb Goat.
Billboard injection.
So they have a poll, and like a poll like metal injection
has
a poll.
Do you stand with Donald Trump, yes or no?
Right, like the Breitbart poll.
I get that shit every fucking game I play. Do you stand with Donald Trump?
I have to tell you, we'll get on that in a second.
Who did a better job, Trump or Obama?
Do you think our president is doing a good job? So, like, you know, we laugh at it and no, but it really engages his dumb followers to, like, give the email address. That's the point of it. It's,
of course.
It's to be as stupid as possible to get those people, like, damn right I do, you know? Anyway, so Billboard has this poll, which is like a nothing poll. It's a nothing poll. And
you
it's like,
Bill
who
means nothing?
Billboard.
Billboard.
Bill Burr Magazine, Noah. Not Bill Burr the comic. Same name.
Got it.
Who should sing the national anthem before the
Super
Bowl?
I'm having a hard time understanding you.
Jim Neidhart should see the.
And like all the choices are.
Thank you.
Are just pop artists. You know, Mark Anthony, Mary J. Blige, Camila Cabello, Lana Cabello. Lana Del Rey, please. Gloria Estefan. Is it in Miami? Is that why? Ariana Grande. Kesha. So anyway, all these pop stars. And then there's the last one. Oh, some of the others are like Barbara Streisand.
What?
And then there's Other, right?
Uh-huh.
Other.
Uh-huh.
So, for some reason, I don't know. David Draymond.
Oh, he filled in the ballot.
I can be honored.
Shared on social media. Shared on the Disturbed Facebook page. The link. And he goes, let's stir it up. Open link. Type in David Draymond in other section. And click vote.
How many people are that passionate about Disturbed?
Well, let's
we
see.
Know one. His name is David Draymond.
It has 2,700 likes on Facebook,
okay,
and 880 shares.
How many votes, though?
One.
Who knows? Like, what does it matter? This is a bullshit. Like, this doesn't hold any weight. It's an online poll. Like, we could have run this poll.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Why didn't you?
He gave it. he gave it to do more tomorrow.
You need to do a poll a week and never give Disturbed as one of the options. Just get him so pissed.
No, always give Disturbed. So he's like, go to this website. Type in.
That's a good point. What would be worse, that he never sees his name in this poll, or he always sees it every week and no one picks it?
Or that he has to link to metal injection for people to vote.
You should do only Disturbed specific polls, and then the only answers are like bad. Just to bum them out.
No, you should say, which of these venues should David Drainman sing the anthem at? And they're all like, you know, the curling championships, like whatever. Roller derby.
Catfish fishing.
Well, so.
They're all yeshivas.
Someone reached out to him and was like, hey, so do you want Disturbed to play the Super Bowl? And he was like, no, I want to sing the national anthem.
Yeah, fuck the rest of my band. I just want to go by myself singing the anthem.
Oh, you threw them right under the yeshiva bus.
Yeshiva rumbum bus.
Here's the quote. I've dreamt of doing it my entire life, singing the national anthem. Been rehearsing it since I was a little boy.
And it still sucks.
I love my country, and I would be honored beyond words to have the opportunity to try and inspire, strengthen, and give hope.
Try and fail.
At a time when we need those things more than ever. Plus, it would be nice to have rock represented on some level at the Super Bowl.
They're in the interstitials already.
And to prove to everyone that there are rock singers out there who can do the anthem as much justice as any pop artists out there. And even possibly take it higher. That's a creep quote. No, I don't know.
I mean, who's stopping him from recording a version of the anthem and just posting it? Be like, yeah, top that, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, just do it then. This is such a big deal.
I would love to hear that.
Put it out as a single, give the money to charity, and you win. You look better than the NFL for not picking you.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I just autoplayed. This is pretty metal, huh?
Yeah,
metal-ish.
Very, very symphonic metal.
It's at least hard rock.
It's definitely power metal. This is the band Neverland.
Oh, can you give me some echo? I want to see, think, like, sort of improvise what David Drainman at the Super Bowl would sound like. Oh, hello, Test. This is Joe Buck. We'll be, we're going to throw it right down to the to David Drainman for the Super Bowl halftime show. All right. Hello, everyone. Here in, where is it? Where are we?
Let's say Miami.
Here in Miami, Florida, for the Super Bowl. And I am David Drainman. Oh, I guess he knows his last name, right? Okay. Now, our national anthem. Avinu Shalom. Shalom. Oh, wait, what? You want the American national anthem. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, they wouldn't stop him because that would seem anti-Semitic.
Yes, you anti-Semite. How dare you stop me from singing Avinu Shalom Aleichem, the Israeli national anthem.
Does that mean something about a good signature also?
Yes. Why am I still like
It's a good time signature, this one.
What if, like, Fox, because Fox, the network is not as Republican as Fox News is. So what if they wanted to just appeal to way more of an audience and they try to be woke and they make him do a duet with a Palestinian?
Oh, my God. Who's the Palestinian vocalist we would get?
I don't know. Who are some great Palestinian vocalists?
Who wrote that Lee 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 song? get that guy.
Okay.
I mean, there's got to be somebody, right?
I can't think of one. I mean, not that I hate to be prejudiced. I'm sure there are some, but I don't know of any.
If any of our listeners can suggest, like,
is Lizzo? Is she a Palestinian?
Why?
I don't know.
Why would you guess that?
Just guess. I'm guessing famous artists. Bill Cosby.
We can't get him.
Who's the Maroon 5 guy? Adam Levine.
Yes, that's a yes. He's adopted.
Wait.
Palestinian pop singers. I'm looking it up.
Britney Spears.
When do we get to the big story in Brooklyn?
Oh, right.
Here are two names of Palestinian pop singers that came up on my phone. If you want to look up either one.
I'm not familiar with the...
There's Eric Saad.
I thought it said Eric Andre for a second.
That would be amazing. And Mira Awad. Those are the two that came up.
Don't know them, but I'm sure
Google gave me two. That's it.
You didn't just read the top two.
It's just two. It's just two. There's just two people.
The Jews hold them down. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I want to mention there is a crazy story that surfaced today.
Yeah.
That Sid mentioned. Let's play the local news clip.
Two attempted child luring cases in Borough Park. They're hoping security cameras can help them lead to an arrest. CBS2's Andrea Klein-Thomas has this.
Surveillance video shows a blue Toyota RAV4 approaching a 10 and 11-year-old boy
standing at a
crosswalk of 47th Street and 18th Avenue by themselves. It's around 8:20 Saturday evening.
There's children out till about 9 o'clock 47? Or 9:30 at night.
According to police, four men...
No.
Oh, I just so 47th and 18th Avenue.
Yes.
And inside the SUV said, "Come here, boys, come here." At one point, the video shows the driver and backseat passenger beginning to get out of the car. The children backpedal before running away.
It raises the alarm and it reinforces what parents are telling the kids.
The second incident the happened Shabbos right alarm. Here on 15th
and 16th. The footage of the two little boys, like, sort of being tempted and then, like, backing away and running away instantly made me think of what it must have looked like when Babka ran away, when you were, like, trying to get her and she, like, scared and just ran off.
Like Rob's face.
Why would you have to bring that up?
Rob's not like that.
I'm trying to make it hit home for you so you understand what the parents must have felt like.
It was such a shanda. They had gold chocolate coins in the van.
This almost seems like it's like a, it was like a setup by the Jewish community to like scare,
like
to
test
to raise
the kids.
Awareness.
Yeah, like this seems so on the nose. Like,
that's,
why are they?
That's how the parents are putting even more anxiety in the kids.
Yeah, like, but, you know what I'm saying? Like, what, like, what is the motivation from these people in the car? Like, what are they?
Fuck a couple of little Jewish boys.
Oh, that's right. They're
come here,
boys.
Little boy. We got Hanukkah socks. Come what? To the van. All Jewish boys love Hanukkah socks.
That's not a thing.
I mean, that's how they got Lebby Kletsky, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Just coming back for a second dose.
They wanted to stroke their payas.
Maybe this is like, maybe this is like It 3. It's just in the Orthodox community.
We all daven down here in the sewer. Come on down.
I mean, Pennywise does sound like a Jewish name.
Pennywise. Man.
Pennywise.
Yeah.
Penny, how you doing? A little of this, a little of that. Six of one, half dozen of the other. Still got some Lebby Kletsky meat in the fridge. You hungry? I'll slap together a sandwich for you.
Oh, my God.
A Lebby sandwich. I'm Penny Weiss. I make sandwiches.
Oh.
It's a little boy contestant.
reinforces what parents are telling the kids.
The second incident happened right here on 55th Street between 15th and
16th
Avenue.
So that guy says it reinforces what parents are telling the kids. Mm-hmm. But these kids are all wandering the streets by themselves.
Yeah,
right?
Why are they, that's a great point. Like, if you're so worried, why are you letting your fucking 11-year-old kid just walk around the neighborhood? Right. Well, you know why? Because they think it's so insular that, like, you know, that it's like there's no one. No one could possibly be driving through that's not in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't actually watch them. We just tell them to be scared of things.
Police say a car fitting a similar description approached a 12-year-old girl and 9-year-old boy, and the men inside the car apparently asked the kids if they wanted candy.
At 12, 1, 2, 3 in the morning with total feeling secure.
Wait, 1, 2, 3 in the morning?
10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, can't even move.
Wait, what? Why are, what?
Go out here 12, 1, 2, 3 in the morning.
Why are they up that late?
Because they're smoking
candy.
We used to be able to go out here 12, 1, 2, 3 in the morning
with
total feeling secure. Now, you can't even 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, can't even walk the streets here. You always have
Rob, Darren, no, I just want to confirm. Do you think this guy misses the old New York? Sounds like you might miss the old New York.
You know, back in the day, you could the 3 a.m. you could go get a schmear, some rocks, and you get a nice little bagel, fresh bagel. We're just baking for the day for the whole neighborhood.
And well, by the way, can he?
The bagels just don't taste the same.
I miss the old schmear and lox. I don't understand why this guy cannot form a complete sentence. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So upset
also, why he counts. Downwards? I used to walk out 3, 2, 1, 12. Now I can
walk 3, 2, 12, 9, and now you can't even 10, 9, 3, 2. I don't understand. Play that back.
Look who's behind you, who's on the sides.
Oh, wait.
Secure.
Now we live on the side. The kids, if they wanted candy.
We used to go out here 12, 1, 2, 3 in the morning with total feeling secure.
Total feeling secure, they were.
10 o'clock, 9 o'clock,
he's Yoda. He's Jew Yoda.
10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. It's like he's got a singing pattern.
Yoda-steen.
With total
disturbance
total
in the Jewish
secure.
Force there was.
Now, you can't even 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, can't
you
even.
You can't even 10
o'clock.
O'clock,
10 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
I tried the 10 o'clock last night and I couldn't even. You can't 10 o'clock, you can't 9 o'clock. Maybe sometimes once in a while you could 8:30. But that's about it.
Streets, you always have to look at who's behind you, who's on the sides.
And it's just dudes that look exactly like you.
Yeah, like,
it's just more of me.
You live in New York. You always have to look at who's in front of you and who's on the side. That's the problem. You keep running into people because you're not looking ahead.
Yeah. You know, before this happened, I never looked at anybody. And now I'm looking to the left and to the back and to the side. And everybody fucking looks like me. What the fuck is going on here? We're all wearing the same damn thing. It's one freaking coat. Who designed this shit? A whole new way of thinking has been opened to me. In a way, I'm kind of thankful to the kid fuckers. because they opened my eyes that we're all wearing the same hats. Okay.
30 minutes and a few.
In 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Can't even.
can't even. I so can't even.
It
10 o'clock.
Me of like,
the two incidents
like
were just 30 minutes.
What's the song I was thinking of? Clock.
10 o'clock.
1 o'clock. 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
10 o'clock. 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
We're gonna can't even walk the streets.
In a few blocks apart. All of
you always have to look
at the time when the clock strikes one.
To be able to go out here
oh,
12,
yeah,
1, 2, 3
clock.
In the morning
yeah.
with total feeling secure.
Rock around the chacham.
Now, you can't even 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, can't even walk the streets there.
Rock.
You always have to look at who's behind you, who's on the sides.
The two incidents were just 30 minutes and a few blocks apart. All of the kids relied on their instincts and got away unharmed.
Those kids don't have instincts.
On their instincts of, yes, don't.
No, they're little Jewish boys in that neighborhood. Their instincts are, this person isn't also Orthodox, run away. That's it.
Yeah,
so in this
right.
case, it worked.
Well, we don't know that. What if they were Orthodox
yeah,
in the van, too? Like, they've never been boy fuckers
true.
Before in
true.
That community?
They're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Police continue to search for the blue Toyota RAV4. This is a community filled with children. Now residents say they'll be more vigilant. In Borough,
there's just footage of these kids walking around
yeah,
on the
yeah.
tenders.
This is
yeah.
an advertisement for more people
yeah.
to come and smash them.
Here's a tip. Here's a tip, Borough Park residents. Don't let your kids walk on the street unattended. What the fuck? How is it so hard?
By the way, we were talking about this before the show, and we realized that, like, if they had just waited one day, these kids would have been so weak from Yom Kippur hunger, they would never have been able to get away.
They wouldn't
they
resist the candy.
They would kill for the candy.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
Oh, well. That's what proves that these weren't Orthodox Jewish
right.
predators.
Either and they didn't do their research, clearly.
Yeah. I kind of see the same thing in my neighborhood. And it's like these kids walking around by themselves. They're like 9 to 12 years old with these giant iPhone Maxes, just like playing it out in the open, like walking, not paying attention. And I'm like, someone can just like run up to this kid right now, beat him up, and like steal this $1,000 phone. Like,
oh, so that's how you got your new iPhone.
Yeah!
Oh.
I'm not saying that's how I got it, but that's how someone can get it.
You see,
it comes with sweatpants.
This was supposed to be one of the perks of creating the ugliest race of people on the planet Earth by inbreeding for the last 4,000 years, and it didn't work because someone is still finding their children attractive.
But they speak like Yoda, so.
10, 9, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, rock.
Ay, ay, ay.
It is real, and we're all Jewish, and I love Jewish people in general. But we're talking now specifically about that sect of Jews
yes.
that are insular, and they all fuck each other's cousins. And oh my God, are they ugly? It is scary.
Once in a blue moon, you see an attractive one. I remember at Brooklyn College, there were some really hot Orthodox Jewish girls.
That's fair.
But they were like, I mean, if they were going to Brooklyn College, they weren't like the super religious ones.
They were
yeah. Well,
probably.
It's possible.
We found her on the doorstep. Our last two were kidnapped by a candy van.
Oh,
so
candy
we
van.
We said, what the hell?
The candy van can.
It's a very risque show today.
Can I share a story about
no.
Orthodox Jews at the gas station?
Yeah.
Please do. Did they use their nose as the nozzle to put the gas
Darren.
On?
Oh, come on.
I'm a shock jock. I'm Jewish. I'm allowed. I have a Jew card.
So I was at the gas station on the Palisades, and it was right. It was like the weekend before Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the store to get something, and I go to the line, and in front of me is an Orthodox mom and her daughter,
mm-hmm.
and they start putting their items on the counter, and then the mom goes into the aisle. And there's a line forming. And she's just, like, the guy starts bringing her up. And she's in the aisle yelling stuff to her daughter. And then her daughter goes to the aisle. And they're just there. And the guy, like, his cash register is, like, occupied with the stuff that he just rang up. And they're just kind of, like, taking their time. So the guy behind me is getting like aggravated and he's like, come on. And so I go, he's done ringing you up now. So anyway, they totally ignore us. Don't even look at us. They come back.
Just said in Hebrew.
You should have said, Hashem will punish you for this.
Well,
bad signature.
Forgery.
Well, they're more like Yiddish speaking, not Hebrew speaking. Okay. So then she brings up all these like more items, and he's ringing her up, and he's done, and the total is right in front of her face on the cash register on the thing, and she's looking on her phone. And she's like, "What's the total?" So I just go, "If you look up off your phone, you could see what the total is, and you can, and the line could continue moving." So she completely ignores me, and I'm so aggravated. And then the guy behind me goes, oh, these fucking people, they're all so rude. So then I start feeling like, oh, no, like I'm contributing to anti-Semitism.
Was he Jewish, by the way? Because that will determine whether I'm angry or not.
Yeah. No, he's definitely not Jewish.
Oh, okay. Fuck him. What an
asshole.
Also,
though, to be fair, the people in front of you were also contributing to anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay.
There are no winners here.
I'm not done yet. So anyway, so like she's just like taking her time like to pay, and then I'm starting to feel kind of bad because I'm like instigating this because I'm like commenting on it.
Right.
So then I go to him. I was like, you know, like after she leaves, I was like, you know, probably those women don't get out of the house much, so I feel a little bit bad for them for doing that. And he's like, no, don't feel bad. They're all fucking rude. I'm like,
and then
okay.
He asked for your phone number.
No, nah. He didn't. I just paid and left.
How old was this guy? Was he like around your age?
He's like a regular like construction guy, probably.
How are his hands?
I'm a taken woman. I was not looking at him.
Oh.
I do not look at man hands anymore.
Were you taken by his
calloused
hands?
Oh, yeah,
Noah?
How about these?
No, I'm not looking.
Were you taken by his calloused hands and hairy knuckles?
I don't know if he had calloused hands or hairy knuckles because I didn't look down there.
He means the one you're taken by.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he has great hands. Great, great, great hands. Very happy with the hands.
If you have great hands, give us a ring.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. 213-WIDE-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. And
I had a little, not an anecdote, but at the 7-Eleven in the Jewish neighborhoods, they have there's like a huge document on the wall that consists of like three printed pages of which Slurpee flavors are allowed to be eaten by Jews, which aren't, which are parv, and like because it's determined by some of them have like I guess minute amounts of animal fat or something, so it counts as meat. And some of them don't. So like the different
right, like for example, the like wooden like Starburst
right
flavor would not be allowed.
Yeah, I don't know which ones are which, but some of them count as meat, and some of them are dairy, and some of them are parv. So there's like a whole list of which Slurpees you can eat which with different things, which I thought was hilarious.
Interesting.
I had a memory come up in my time hop about like when I went to the post office when I lived in Williamsburg.
Man, you had great social media.
Thank you.
Just post office posts coming up. They're like waiting online for stamps.
Oh, boy. We had Ken Pierce to review that.
I think he has reviewed that particular. That
no,
particular
your feed.
Post
I meant. I want him to read your posts.
Let Rob
comment
finish
on
the story.
It.
Yeah.
But
that is time hop.
I just remember going to pick up a package, and the guy there was a Hasidic man. He was just like, "It's been 7 days. It said it was delivered."
Right here at my time.
How have you not found my package yet? What kind of post office is this? What kind of operation are you running? Do you have something against the Jewish people?
Did he really say that?
He said that. This was my tweet.
He turned this to Snagglefoot.
It was just like, what?
Oh, no.
Yes, this post office is purposely...
You probably love Hitler. Exit. Stage Holocaust.
Wow. I'd see that play. Is that what The Producers was originally called?
Charlie Kaufman production.
Yeah. So what was the package that you got that? Did you get that guy's package by accident?
The lampshade.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember. I just remember it was like
It was when
the apartment that I lived in, for some reason, it was a basement apartment. So for some reason, they would always like ring the bell upstairs.
Probably scared of the rats.
Or whatever. So they would always just say, oh, it's undeliverable. Mm-hmm. And I would have to go to the post office.
And you worked from home, so you were right there to accept
that. That was the most frustrating thing. I would have to put up signs. I put up signs. Like, they just don't care. I don't care.
Did your sign say, I flipped for the postman?
What? No.
That's an old Livecast reference.
Oh,
flip
for Callisto?
Is he a postman now? Spoiling hard times?
Probably. It's a good government job.
Yeah.
Can't reach the mail slot. He's a little short dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he could flip to it.
Oh, yeah, true.
Parkour up to it.
Yeah. Do we have voicemails or listener mail?
We do have some.
Yeah, you were supposed to read an email last week, and you weren't able to. And
I was going to say, wrestling was mentioned. You want to mention the horrible events of this week of WWE 2 Inside?
Well, did you have anything you wanted to say about it?
It's okay. Since Rob just shot me down, I'll just let it go.
Oh.
WWE just kind of shot themselves in the foot this week. It's pretty hilarious to watch.
Like, in what way? Because I haven't watched, my TV is not set up.
Rob doesn't want to talk about it. I don't want to.
Well, while he's looking for the email, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
You can give me like a... Cliff,
well, it was like a big week for them, right? The new competition started up.
I saw the ring outside of
channel.
Fox.
Well, it all started because, they had the SmackDown moving to Friday thing for a long time. But then AEW, which is a new upstart promotion, started on Wednesday. So they decided to put their AAA show, their minor leaguers, NXT, which is better than their regular shows, on Wednesday.
Okay.
To compete with AEW.
Same time slot, same everything?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's the NXT's 1 hour. That show's 2 hours.
Okay.
But still, got slaughtered. They got one and a half times the ratings WWE did. So then they wrote like a little apology like letter. Not apology.
Who got slaughtered?
Sorry, they wrote like a conciliatory good job AEW. You know, like that's
a marathon, not a race.
Wait. That's a marathon, not a sprint.
I'm sorry. Oh, which company got slaughtered?
WWE got slaughtered.
Oh, because everyone was watching AEG.
Yeah, they didn't crack a million.
AEW, sorry.
So AEG, what's AEG is something,
what is
right?
That?
It's like a concert promoter.
Yeah.
They don't have a wrestling show. So then they did SmackDown. They had Kofi Kingston, who's the champion, got slaughtered in 9 seconds.
Oh.
Took the belt off of him in a 9 second.
By who?
Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay.
And then Brock, this MMA guy shows up and threatens Brock Lesnar. And he runs away.
The guy who beat Brock for the world title.
Right.
Cain
Velasquez.
Then they had a pay-per-view on Sunday that actually started off okay. The early matches are all right.
I saw lots of anger for Hell in a Cell.
The closing match to this show was literally one of the worst things I've seen in pro wrestling.
Well, what happened?
Well, first they have you remember Bray Wyatt?
So no, I don't know him. But...
He's like this guy from the last 10 years
okay.
or so. But he's like what you would say is analogous to The Undertaker. Like he's like a weird dark side guy.
Okay.
No, that's his character. So now he's debuted a new character where he comes out all in makeup and he's called The Fiend.
Okay.
So he's fighting Seth Rollins. So he's The Fiend. He comes out, the arena goes red. So, this is this guy's entrance.
Uh-huh.
No, it stays on during the whole match. The whole thing is in fucking red.
Is it just like a lighting problem and they couldn't turn it off?
Maybe, but I don't think so. They've done that before with Sin Cara. You know, he had his shit red for the whole match. They probably just thought it was a great idea.
All right.
Crowd is booing the shit out of this.
Because they can't see anything, probably.
Right, exactly. Booing.
Their retinas are burning.
Anytime Seth Rollins beats up Bray Wyatt, they're booing the shit out of him. They want Bray Wyatt to win. Right.
Even though it's his fault that everything's red.
Yes. I don't. Who knows they're what
they're
upset
at everybody.
About. They beat the shit out of each other with every kind of weapon possible.
Uh-huh.
He pulls out this gigantic fucking hammer that's bigger than you or me,
like
17, a huge mallet.
Mm-hmm.
Beats the shit out of him with that. Beats the shit out of him with chairs. And he still keeps kicking out. Keeps kicking Bray Wyatt. Kicking out. Then finally, Seth Rollins goes and gets a smaller hammer.
A sledgehammer.
A sledgehammer that's smaller than the gigantic mallet.
Okay.
And that causes a disqualification. Why? Hey, right, exactly.
Was, like, the ref supposedly not watching for the other stuff? Or
no.
Was he letting it go?
It's
and
Hell in
the
Cell.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be anything goes.
Oh. So
but
then how did they...
Yeah. Good question. I still don't know why. Crowd booing the shit out of it.
Did they explain?
We want refunds. You know, all this stuff. Chanting AEW.
Oh,
wow.
Jesus.
It's
Christ.
A fucking disaster.
Oof,
I fucking love it. I love it. WWE cannot go bankrupt fast.
So this was Sunday night.
That was Sunday night.
And then they had a show yesterday, right? Did they explain?
I know. I only saw like a few minutes of Raw.
They didn't explain anything.
Oh, but I did read that they didn't mention the show like until like.
They didn't mention the main event.
Last hour.
And it was just a recap. They didn't have any storyline.
It
they
seems
were
like
fast.
Something must have gone wrong somewhere.
No.
This was all on purpose and as planned.
And they didn't swerve away from it at all when the crowd was shitting all over it either.
That's fucking weird. That's fucking weird.
They actually talked about Chris Benoit before they talked about the main event.
What?
No.
That would have been better. 20 minutes of just talking about Chris Benoit and showing his highlights.
About Baby Daniel, maybe.
They should have had Baby Daniel's corpse in a match with The Fiend, and that would have been better than what
Baby Daniel on a pole match?
Baby Daniel's remaining bones on a pole match in a little velvet bag.
Oh, my God.
Dig him up. You want to get morbid? Let's get morbid.
Well,
all right.
Well, I have the hate mail. On that note,
sorry, we went on such a tangent that you didn't want to go on.
No, it's good.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Right.
I want to mention you. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love your questions, your comments. Well, we hear from you all show. We'd love to hear from our listener who has us in their ears at the moment. And we'd love to hear from you. You can email us hatemail@metalinjection.net. There is a SpeakPipe widget on every episode page. You can record a little voice memo with your computer microphone or your phone microphone. Or you can record a voice memo with your phone and email that to hatemail@metalinjection.net. We got two emails here. The first one was the one I couldn't find last week. It was from Ryan. Actually, I'm sorry. It's from Bladesy.
What?
Close.
Hey, Livecast, Bladesy from Ottawa here. I've been trying to get my wife into Megadeth because I think that's...
Wait, who?
Megadeth.
No. Before that, who was he trying to get in?
My wife! I've been trying to get my wife into Megadeth because I think they're fantastic.
Okay.
Each time I put on an album, we start rocking out only to have a nasal mustache start singing and ruin the song. Now that he has throat cancer, do you think maybe he could take over writing for Metallica?
Total fucking Duclaw.
We think that a Megatallica band would be beautiful. Been listening since 2010. Love the show. Have a good night. Well, thank you for listening, Bladesy. I'm very surprised. I guess Dave Mustaine's voice isn't a choir taste.
So does he want Megadeth with James on vocal?
Right. He likes the songwriting, but he doesn't like the vocals. So I'm assuming he likes Metallica vocals, which is James, but not the Metallica songwriting.
Good luck.
If he doesn't get out of rehab and they give him the boot, maybe Dave can
still do. First of all, I don't think that would happen. But I do remember right around the time of the Big Four shows, Mustaine kept lobbying in interviews.
To sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
No, to do a band where it was like Hetfield, Mustaine, Lars, and David Ellison. And he kept saying, like, oh, I keep talking to those guys, that we should just record some, blah, blah, blah. And, like, he kept talking about it so much that they had to release a statement, like, Dave Mustaine needs to stop.
They being Metallica?
Metallica, yeah. We definitely covered this on the show. Because it was so amazing at the time that they had to, like, issue a public statement to be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
They're saying I wanted to play in a band with them. I didn't. Why? Fake news.
And then the other hate mail we got was a tattoo update. Do you remember somebody got a the Colonel Sanders?
He went on a date and the girl said, let's just get random tattoos.
He told them he wanted a KFC Colonel Sanders tattoo, but they made it where he was like eating.
He was shooting a kid.
Shooting a black child.
Was that it, or was it that he told the artist do whatever?
He said do whatever, but he gave him something. I think.
Okay.
I think he gave him the KFC thing, but he made it into a race.
It looks like a decapitated head. So here, right. So it's from Ray, and he goes, "Howdy, my rowdy, raucous, ravishing Rivecasters.
Right, you tried. Yeah.
I just figured I should send everyone a quick update that despite me having to make multiple compromises, Colonel Sanders shooting a black baby is now no more. It's now Arsene from Persona 5.
Oh, that's who's shooting the black baby now? That's
not particularly terrible. Deep,
he
but definitely less.
He didn't fix the bad part of it.
Let's call it thought-provoking in a good way.
I don't know what you said.
It's like
who?
A video game character?
Picture?
Yeah, like so it's a total cover-up. You don't even see the baby.
Sort of like 9/11?
Oh, and there's some stars, though. That's unfortunate. P.S., in case you all aren't aware, KFC just released a dating sim where Colonel Sanders is the man you're chasing after.
What? Real weird
corporate chivalry, but hilarious.
Wait, Rob, so...
I guess it's a dating sim where you date the Colonel? The Colonel!
I can't believe you knocked them for having star. The guy just got rid of like a KKK image. Can you use baby steps?
No, that's good that he got rid of the KKK.
Right,
but
give him some time.
You don't need the stars. It looks like the tattoo was covered up without the stars.
He did the important thing. We'll work on the stars after. There's no more racist imagery on his skin anymore.
Well, speaking of stars, I want to talk about a big star.
Thank you.
That's something stupid.
Oh.
Okay.
And her name is Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, my God.
Something stupid, then said something.
Yeah, you know.
She did something stupid and then made it worse with her supposed, like, not apology, but reaction.
Well, so there was a Dallas Cowboys-Green Bay Packers game this weekend, and there was a shot in the, like, owner's box, and you see Ellen DeGeneres sitting right next to George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. And they're just having a great time.
It's like her selfie video. She just held it up. I'm here. There's George.
Well, no. The initial thing was just like during the game.
Oh, yeah. They showed it on
TV. So people start tweeting about whatever. So because of the quote-unquote drama, she felt she needed to address it. And
okay, but before you do that, what was the drama? What were people saying?
People were like, hey, why are you sitting with George W. Bush? And, you know, the sanitized version of the drama is like you are a lesbian liberal and this guy is against gay rights. He was against gay marriage,
against abortion.
Against abortion. Right. Against women's rights. Yeah. Perhaps what some might consider more extreme take would be that this guy is a fucking war criminal and sent us to war, to two needless wars
under false pretenses
so that him and his friends could line their pockets. Thousands of American citizens died. Hundreds of thousands of brown people died.
Conservative estimate.
And it's like he shouldn't be allowed back into society. He should be shunned from society.
He should be on trial for war crimes.
Right, he should be in jail.
To
like,
be fair, you know, she's not the one that invited him there, so let's not hold her responsible for
that. She didn't invite him there, but she's celebrating the fact that she's in the room with this guy.
So, look, I will give you that. Look, you show up to a party, and, you know, you don't want to be rude, but whatever. Okay.
And that could have been her excuse, but that was not her.
That was not her.
She doubled down.
Yeah.
That would be almost acceptable. So now, on her show today, she had a little rant.
So I want to talk about something that happened this weekend. I know it's Tuesday. Sometimes I like to ruminate on things all day Monday so that on Tuesday you hear about it. This weekend I went to Dallas for the Cowboys game. And thanks. And it may not seem like a big deal for a celebrity to attend a football game, but I never leave my house. So it is a big deal. I go through the drive-thru at Wendy's, so I only have to see one person. I'm that kind of person. So there were 100,000 people in this.
Also, all the weird name dropping of like corporations. Like, why did she have to mention Wendy's specifically?
There's another very blatant coming up here too.
The stadium, beautiful stadium, by the way, that Dallas has. So Portia and I were invited by Charlotte Jones. She's the daughter of Jerry Jones, who owns the Dallas Cowboys. And we went because we wanted to keep up with the Joneses.
Has she ever been funny?
No.
Yes.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, there was like one or two stand-up specials I remember that I really enjoyed of hers. It was clean comedy, but it was very good.
It was a serious question.
Yeah.
Maybe she has been.
Yeah,
she was like the flat-chested Brian Regan.
Oh.
I think Brian Regan's funnier. Brian Regan has some.
But is his chest flatter?
No. My favorite Brian Regan thing is he goes, you go to a restaurant and you say, the waiter says, enjoy your meal. And you go, you too. You too. That's my favorite Brian Regan.
Yeah.
You're like such an idiot. You too.
Yeah, that guy's a legend.
He's good. Yeah.
So you mean looks-wise, she just looks like him?
No, he's also famously clean, but he's, like, thicker than she is.
Oh, the clean thing is not why I don't like her. She's just not funny at all.
Yeah.
No, she used to be funny.
But she dances, Darren. She dances.
With war criminals.
No, that's her Native American name, dances with war criminals.
Joneses.
So anyway, so we get to sit in this very fancy suite because, you know, he owns the whole place. So his suite is fancy, and he's got fancy friends. And I don't mean fancy like Real Housewife fancy. I mean like fancy. Look, this is – I took a video of who was next.
And honestly,
this could have been 5 minutes if she just got to the point without telling all these stupid jokes.
Well, so far it's only been a minute. We've been cutting it off and making our own jokes. This is the part that's so gross that like really like made my heart sink because so it's a first person selfie video that she's shooting from the game and she's panning around. You see her wife, you see Charlotte Jones, and it's panning, and you see George W. Bush, and then the reaction when you see George W. Bush. Ugh. So here it is. You'll know when it's George W. Bush. Here it comes.
Audience full of like liberal wine moms. They're
is
so
it
excited.
Though? It's just like random tourists that
happen
to be. Yeah,
where's
her show? Middle
name?
America, LA. Probably.
Oh. Yeah, just so weird. Like it's like a cameo from like fucking like Johnny Carson walked on the
just
set or whatever.
Generic famous person.
Yeah,
and he's making a funny face.
I guarantee that the applause sign came up for the audience.
Of course.
There's also that.
Okay, so now here comes her explanation, which
I just delete everything.
So that was Portia, and that was Charlotte Jones. Portia was talking to, and George W. Bush, and then in front of us was the tallest man in the world. And so I've got to say, when we were invited, I was aware that I was going to be surrounded with people from very different views and beliefs. And I'm not talking about politics. I was rooting for the Packers, and get this, everybody in the Cowboys suite was rooting for the Cowboys. And so I had to hide my cheese hat in Portia's purse. And don't get me wrong, I like the Cowboys. I love the Cowboys. I love all the Village People, as a matter of fact. But Aaron Rodgers is a friend of mine. He's the quarterback for the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers somewhere's like, don't drag me into this.
Yeah, fuck you.
What the fuck did I do? I'm just trying to play a game, lady.
Is he a nice guy? Good guy? No
probably.
Controversy?
Like
in the Cowboys suite, the owner of the Cowboys, and secretly cheering every time the Packers scored or every time another whistleblower came forward. And
yeah, I don't remember. She's anti-Trump still, so she's not all bad. That was what that was.
That wasn't even an anti-Trump thing. She just said the word whistleblower.
Yeah, that's enough.
They're just not even taking a stance.
It's the entendre. She wants more whistleblowers to call out Trump. So here we go.
They showed a shot of George and me laughing together. And so people were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president?
No, that's not what they thought.
That's not what people
thought. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to someone who actively tried to persecute fucking gay people, and why is a woman sitting next to a guy who tried to outlaw abortion this year by like campaigning for anti-abortion candidates? The fuck out of here.
But these are just disagreements. You know, it's just different beliefs.
And notice fucking I'm holding idiot. The brand new iPhone 11. And
that!
Yeah.
How much, so you're in the industry. How much does someone like get paid for doing that?
That's the way she put that in is, first of all, 100%. Apple, she is a brand, like a endorser or whatever. She gets paid a flat fee to organically mentor the iPhone.
A flat fee, so she
really?
Has to do this every show.
No.
No, it's because
certain...
she's flat.
That's
just what
Come
they
on.
Call it.
Brian Regan.
No, he gets the bulbous fee.
Yeah, no, so it's like to bring it up in conference. She probably has to mention it X amount of times or something
okay.
like that.
In per show, though. Is it per
or just per month, probably.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. And but here's one tweet that I loved. This person says, Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again.
Why?
Sign Dick Cheney.
Okay. All right. Ellen and Bush sitting together gives you faith in America? Why does that give anyone faith in America?
Because they're not stabbing each other, I guess.
You should be fucking angry.
Well, hold on. Okay. Let's excuse the war crime, okay? Like,
right.
just for the sake of this.
That's
I
a drop.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That could also be the episode.
I got,
no,
I guess,
let's not make
so this is a thought experiment. We're going to pretend he did everything else the same but didn't kill anybody.
That Yeah, like, it wasn't, like, it was a justified, you know, like, because some people do
let's
things.
Let's say it was Dick Cheney did it. George Bush was cuffed to his bed. He couldn't do anything to stop it.
Oh,
Cheney
man.
Took over.
Really
now,
stop kick.
Now, even if that's so, what are these two people sitting together? How is that restoring faith in America? Like, what are they representing? Does Ellen represent Democrats and Bush represent Republicans?
It's just I
it's yeah,
so,
that's clearly the implication.
It's hard for me to even put into words how angry this shit makes me because it's like it's a political ideology of nothing but. Being nice. It's like
it's
we're
like
all in kindergarten.
It's turning into team sports. Like,
are,
oh,
right.
we're rooting for our team.
Yeah.
We're rooting for the Packers. He's rooting for the Cowboys.
But team sports, but then even the people rooting for team sports, like when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings and it's the Cowboys and the Packers, they want to fucking kill each other. So wow. this, you don't even want to kill each other when it's the guy sitting next to you that literally killed people. You fucking imbecile.
Well, because here's the thing, and this is not this is what she didn't mention, but it's the real thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Political ideologies, whatever, they have the most important thing in common.
They're rich.
Yeah, that's it. That's all that matters. They're both
influence.
Really rich,
yeah,
pampered
like,
people. The end.
That's really it. It's like, oh, you know, when you're rich, you're around a ton of terrible people.
Yeah,
you can't
right.
start calling them out on their terrible things because you won't get invited anywhere.
And also, on top of that, all of the anti-gay shit he did, all of the anti-feminist shit that he did, and all of the war and bombs that he dropped on people will never affect her.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she's a woman and gay, she's insulated from that because she has $100 trillion fucking dollars.
Yeah, she's fine.
So this is a class issue. She's deserting all the morons in her audience by giving them this fucking mental vibe and passing it on to them, when in reality, those people are the ones, if they're gay and women, that suffer from the fucking type of policies that these miscreant, ghoul, vile ghouls
yeah.
Pass on us.
Let's hear the rest.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. I'm
nice.
Friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have.
Belief? It's not a belief when you bomb somebody.
Well, we believe brown people shouldn't be bombed.
Oh, for fuck. Why don't you have R. Kelly on the show, too? I can't look the other way. I can't be friends with R. Kelly when he pisses in fucking 15-year-old girls' faces.
Well, you have different beliefs.
It's just a belief that he pees on them. It's just a belief. Bill Cosby, too. He rapes women. Listen, I don't believe in raping women, but he does. That's what's
yeah,
we
have friends that believe many different things.
Let's go to a fucking Packers-Eagles game.
We've forgotten yeah. that that's okay, that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. And
I wish people wouldn't kill innocent Iraqis,
yeah,
but I'm friends with people who kill innocent Iraqis.
Wearing a fur coat is exactly the same as killing a million people. It's the same exact thing, Rob.
Right.
Well, would you be friends with a soldier?
If you think about it, it's both is involves killing animals. So, yes.
Would you be friends with a soldier? What do
yeah.
you mean?
Yeah, like if somebody fought in the Iraq war.
But
it would depend on...
And
were
literally killed in Iraq.
Were they in the Iraq war, like, digging irrigation ditches and
no,
stuff?
No, literally they did something that led to the
I
loss
would,
of life.
I Well, what was the circumstances? Were they shot at?
Perhaps.
All right, if they...
So self-defense would be okay?
I think I have an initial distrust of anyone in the military, mm-hmm. but if they were my friend before and then they went in the military, I'd probably be more amenable to, like, you know, being that. But if he was George W. Bush that sent a million people...
Right, yeah, George W. Bush was directly responsible.
What if Ellen was friends with him from back when he owned the Texas Rangers?
I don't know.
Like, she was a big baseball fan.
I think killing a million people kind of...
blanks that out.
Yeah, like if Darren's friend came back and was, like, bragging about
how many... He killed a million people?
You're exaggerating, Steve. Come on.
I had a real good day.
But you're still my friend. We can find
common
ground. We
have different beliefs. I don't believe in killing a million people by yourself. But you do. But listen, we could still get along. Here's a word that's original.
Fuck's
sake.
Got to
get that sponsorship in.
I love Werther's Originals, by the way. They're so good. I know we're going off on a tangent here.
I order them all the time off Amazon.com on my brand new iPhone with AT&T's top of the line
service. Now, here's the thing about what she's saying. Now, as I said before, like, she could have just been like, listen, I can't control who they sit me next to. I didn't want to, but I didn't want to make a fucking scene, blah, blah, blah. But that would have been bullshit.
Right.
It would have explained it away, but it would have been bullshit.
Right.
So on the one hand, I want to give her credit for being honest about what a piece of shit she is.
Yes.
But and you pulled that thread all the way, she's a piece of shit.
Right.
So
you
get partial credit for being a piece, for admitting what a piece of shit you are, but you're still a piece of shit.
See, I have to disagree with you on one point, because I don't think she should get any credit for being an honest piece of shit, because I don't think she recognizes that she's being a piece of shit.
No, not at all.
In order to get those brownie points of courage, you have to realize that what you're saying is piece of shit-ish.
Fair. She accidentally told us.
She's actually, in her mind, virtue signaling of what a great person she is, that she's sitting next to George W. Bush.
And really, if this was 10 years ago, or, you know, 12 years ago, let's say, and she was in the position she's in now, like, she would be criticizing him.
She would be
going after him.
Right.
She would be making dumb fucking whistleblower jokes about him.
But in the most inoffensive, unedgy way, because that's what she does. But she would be criticizing
Like, she
Bush.
Positions herself as anti-Trump.
Right.
Does she? I've never seen a second of her show.
I don't know anything. She's doing the whistleblower jokes.
Okay, but that was, like, very subtle and, like...
But Rob, you're right. I don't know what her actual stupid jokes are, but lots of people are doing what she's doing with Bush.
Right.
So those people are clearly anti-Trump.
And to be honest, like, that's the thing that kind of, like, I don't want to say makes me want to kill myself, but, like, makes me want
to.
That's very extreme. It makes me want to check out of society, because I can't with the fakeness, you know, like pretending that this guy is in
the woke
fucking,
culture.
Like,
is this what you're upset about, Rob? Is that what
you're saying?
Anti-woke culture is what I'm upset.
Okay.
Like, for example, like, how did the Jonas Brothers just go on and after this and, like, talk to her after, like, hey, bitch, you said something crazy. Like, I don't want to be.
They give a shit. You
right.
Think
nobody
political?
Gives a shit. Everyone's just trying to be nice and get their fucking plugs in. It's
well,
disgusting.
That's the thing. It's back to the days of Michael Jordan. Republicans buy sneakers too. You don't want to offend anybody who uses money you might be taking.
Well,
that's
like
all.
You know, people.
That's like what's going on with the NBA right now. Have you been following that with the NBA in China the last couple of days?
It's
crazy.
So, well, why don't you give it a little summary?
So there's all these protests in Hong Kong. I'm not an expert on that situation. I bet Darren would know more about it than
which,
I do.
Which one?
The Hong Kong protests.
Oh, okay, good.
It's like a civil rights thing. They want democracy, blah, blah, blah. China's trying to impose laws on Hong Kong that the residents of Hong Kong aren't really cool with, more or less. So, but the NBA and China have, like, a really big, like, it's a huge market.
Money.
The NBA is always trying to, you know, have more exhibition games there, sell more merch there, blah, blah, blah.
Make money.
Yes. So a couple nights ago, in advance of some NBA teams playing some exhibition games in China, the general manager of the Houston Rockets tweeted out, stand with Hong Kong, stand for human rights, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, within, like, an hour, he deleted it. And then the owner of the team quote tweeted it, which just wrote, like, signal boosted it, which is stupid. But he's like, the Houston Rockets are not a political team. We have no political affiliation, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, this guy's, like, hosting Trump fundraisers and shit. So that's okay. But this isn't. But then instantly China, as a fucking nation, was like, the NBA, you are dead to us. We are canceling these exhibition games that we're going to have here. We're not going to air your fucking G League games anymore. Like, they were like...
You're cut off.
Yeah, more or less. Well, and so now everybody's like in panic mode. So people for like, all of them, get fired.
Quick pause. For all these talks about like freedom of speech, my freedoms must be my freedom. Like that's true censorship right there. They don't. Like, they just cut it off.
Yeah.
And, like, they remove, I'm sure they could remove all mentions of NBA off the internet.
Easily,
it's done.
Easily.
It's done.
They haven't done it yet, but it's possible.
And also, but there's also all these weird, there was more to it, right? Like, they uncover all these, like, training camps that are in these, like, terrible cities that are, like, there's so many human rights violations happening, and they just have a training camp. Like, they build, like, a fancy NBA training camp. And, like, down the street, like, these Chinese people are getting, you know.
Okay.
Harassed and beat up and whatever. So there's a lot. There's been even more uncovered because of this. That's kind of what I've been seeing.
Okay.
It was like the more, I think it was on Slate. But anyway, that was a little political injection for you at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I'm just curious how long it's going to take when Trump is out of office before these fucking vapid idiots start saying what a great guy
they
he is.
They all have the tweet. Oh, no. I thought you were going to say until all the Republicans say they never liked him in the first place, like they did with Bush when he left
office. I don't
think
that will ever happen.
I think
Trump is going to become Reagan on the Republican side. And I think.
Yes.
I don't think so.
I think 10 years he's going to be, it's going to be like what's going on with Bush now, but
no,
more.
He's already more popular than Reagan.
Now, but I think the second he's either impeached or out of office, they're all going to pretend like it never happened and that they were always like leery of him and his overreach and blah, blah, blah. And they were the ones standing up to him behind the scenes. You just don't know.
They're going to Jeff Flake it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I'm skeptical of that.
Because that's sort of what happened to Bush the second he was out of office. Nobody wanted his endorsement. It was like he was dead to the world for a couple of years, even on Fox News.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to say no, but I think Bush's second term was viewed by Republicans as a disaster.
But they didn't say that in the moment.
But that he wasn't conservative enough in their mind.
Yeah.
I think Trump is their, like, God.
Even with this Syria-Turkey stuff?
Yeah, I think pulling out of Syria is what Republicans want to do.
Most of them are criticizing him for it.
No, right. Republicans in Congress.
Rob also wants to pull out of Syria.
But because they want more and more war. They want troop stations.
Oh, yeah.
But Republican, like, rank-and-file voters want the U.S. out of Syria. They want. It's like the one good thing they believe in is removing military and not being the military policeman. Of course, for stupid, selfish reasons, because they're white nationalists and their ideology is we want to isolate everything in the U.S. But still, the fact that troops are leaving is a good thing, generally. That might be like the one area in the entire world where the U.S. military is actually doing some good. That's another side discussion. But I think Trump, listen, we can, you know, let's revisit this in 10 years or whatever, if we're all, the planet's still here. But I think Trump is going to be the Republican God. He's going to be on the same tier as Reagan. And I think on the Democrat liberal side, he's going to be like Bush. He's going to be like 60% favorability.
Well, can I ask this? If he loses in 2020, you think he'll still be viewed as
Republican? No, not at all. I think he'll be a colossal failure.
No, when he wins in 2020.
But I think it's like right now, like 65 to 70% he's going
to
win.
I don't know. Most of the polls have him losing to most of the Democratic frontrunners.
I just think Trump fucking defies polls. Like,
that's
I
fair.
Think.
Yeah.
Well, so to be fair,
and also,
all the Democrats
he's really good
polls
at controlling
too.
The media narrative. I want to point out, like Marco Rubio got like hammered for saying that like, oh, Trump doesn't really want China. He's just saying that to egg you on and like you guys are falling for it. And like they were like, oh, Marco Rubio is so spineless. I'm like, yes, he is spineless, but he's right.
Is he?
Well, that's what's lost. You can never.
It's very weird because it's like, look, you have to take. He's the president, so you should take what he says seriously. But he's Trump, so you shouldn't take what he says seriously.
Right.
So it's like, where? When do you decide what to take seriously?
Well, forget the first part.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the fuck he says because he's not really the president. Like, he's not making these decisions. This is like, you know, corporations.
Yeah, people are telling him what to say,
and he puts his rubber stamp on it like 85% of the time. And the reason why they don't like Trump, and the reason why Republicans clash with him. And why Democrats hate him is because he only does it 85% of the time. And he's not Obama and he's not Bush and he's not Reagan that will rubber stamp everything 100% of the time. So he could not because he's good. Just want to clear that up because he's a mentally brain addled 80 IQ Nazi piece of shit. But that leads to unpredictability, which means by accident, good things can happen occasionally.
Well, I want to put my rubber stamp on this episode. This has been a terrific episode.
Right.
It's been wonderful. It's been fantastic. Well, what was the one thing you wanted to say?
No, it's all right.
No, say it.
I don't even remember now. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make some Trump jokes about what a
I thought you were actually.
This has been an absolute perfect episode. Just perfect. A perfect, perfect, wonderful, terrific, fabulous episode.
I remember the one thing I wanted to say was I think everyone running will lose to Trump except Bernie Sanders. So vote for Bernie. Make sure it gets through.
Well, could he stop having heart attacks, please?
I don't.
Yeah, he had minor heart.
No more, please. Okay. No more. Please cut it out.
The guy, I would put him up against any one of these motherfuckers in MMA, including Trump, including anybody. And Trump has like 6 inches in height on him.
Even Brock Lesnar.
He's not running for president though.
Yet.
Any of the press.
The primaries aren't over yet.
No, who in the primaries are you most excited
for? I'm so over this political stuff. It just makes the show not fun for
and
me.
By the way, also, everyone talking about Bernie Sanders and his heart condition are the same people that, like, when Hillary Clinton was coughing up 3-inch diameter phlegm balls for, like, 6 months and falling down every 3 weeks. Oh, my God, that's fake news. Don't look at that. All of a sudden, Bernie has, a fairly common procedure in his heart, and we're supposed to, like, freak the fuck. He's fine.
I don't know. When a person that age has a heart attack and a heart procedure, that's not
fair.
That's
what about when a 7-year-old woman falls down on the fucking pavement face first? Are we not supposed to worry about that?
It's not as serious as a heart attack. Okay. I mean, the expression is serious as a heart attack.
It's pretty fucking serious, I would say.
Then she lost. So there
you
go.
Well, no.
And that was one of the things they used to hammer her with, was her health and stuff.
I think both of them were stupid to get upset about. I don't think that – I mean, there's a million things you could pick on Hillary Clinton about. I didn't think that was a big deal. And I also don't think Bernie Sanders having a fucking little stent put into his heart is that big of a deal. I think he's fine. He looks like he's aware. He's talking. He's fine. Elect this motherfucker already. We have one window. We have one window. If we fail this, we're going back to fucking 1992. The best thing we're going to get is like a Bill Clinton clone. Put this motherfucker in the White House.
Elizabeth Warren's better than a Bill Clinton clone.
All right, everybody.
Jesus Christ. All right.
We're going to get out of here.
She's better than a Bill Clinton clone, but like marginally better, I would say.
I do want to mention we are on Instagram now. Metal Injection Livecast is our handle. And we are on Patreon. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. If you sign up now, you can get 2 bonus episodes right away.
Yeah.
We do a watch-along of a Pantera home video and a brand-new watch-along for this month, for the month of October, of Motley Crue's The Dirt on Netflix. So you can pop up Netflix and chill with the Metal Injection Livecast crew. And with the Patreon, of course, for $5, you get the bonus episode. And for $10, you are a live cast super fan, which means you get the shout out at the end of the show. And guess what? It's time for the shout outs. And Noah, do you want to do that?
Oh, okay, sure.
Do it.
Wait, do I get that wrestling music or no?
Here, I got something for you. I got some music for you. I'm loading it right now.
Okay. On the Erev of Yom Kippur, our Patreon shout out.
2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Go to.
Say it Semitically.
Robert Jesus Delgado Bagalayos Jr. Eric Rabba Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin. Benjamin Lionel Alday Dallas El Duderino. And Justin.
Thank you so much to our live guest super
fans.
And thank you to all of our fans, everyone for listening. Patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. We're out of here. We'll be back next week.